Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from various scriptures in the Bible. Please follow along with the scriptures on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, there's a story about a man named Tim who is a hardworking leader at work. He's got a wife and two young kids, and he's very involved in the community that he lives in. But below the surface, Tim's life tells a very different story. He's constantly stressed and overwhelmed. For example, he will have a packed schedule of things that need to be done at home and at work for that day. And as he's about to do it, the phone calls and emails come from friends, family, and coworkers, all asking Tim for various favors. Instead of focusing on what he needs to do that day, other people's responsibilities end up filling up his time. But Tim reasons that he wants to be a nice guy and that he's helping people out, and so taking on a little more than he can handle is okay, even though it prevents him from getting what he needs done. Then, as he's about to go to lunch, Tim gets a call from his boss saying, "Hey Tim, can I have 5 minutes of your time?" Which really ends up being 30 minutes, and Tim finds out that as a result of his boss's poor planning again, Tim now needs to stay late at work, which means that he's going to be late for dinner again in order to make all the necessary changes to his finalized presentation so that it's going to be ready for tomorrow's staff meeting. But that is only a glimpse of why Tim is always stressed out, because he has no boundaries when it comes to how he functions with others. He says yes to everything that is asked of him because he wants to please and have a good image with those around him. But then he ends up getting resentful at those same people because he can't say no. When it comes to his relationships, where he may not necessarily agree with something, Tim doesn't push back or challenge the person because he doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings and is afraid that if he does, people won't like him and it's going to affect the relationship. Tim is also overly responsible. So when someone doesn't do something, Tim will just do it for them because he feels that it's helping them and he can just do it quickly. But then he finds himself angry that he's doing what others said that they would do. Tim struggles in trying to keep all of his many commitments made that he ends up either forgetting about a certain commitment made, or he frequently shows up late for his other commitments made. Because Tim has trouble knowing when to say no and when to say yes, he has damaged his relationships and has even lost a lot of trust with his wife, who feels that he puts work and other people's commitments and problems over her and the kids. On top of that, Tim also doesn't deal well with conflict and has the tendency to ignore problems, hoping that they will automatically just get better because he doesn't know how to engage in any tough conversations. That is why he finds himself walking on eggshells in many of his relationships or taking on responsibility for other people's irresponsibilities. On the outside, Tim looks successful. And he's a nice guy who's always so helpful to everyone. But internally, Tim is tired, resentful, and feels like he's drowning. Does Tim's story resonate with you? When have you said yes when you knew you should have said no? And when have you said no when you should have said yes? When has your difficulty with setting healthy boundaries caused you to be stressed and overwhelmed? You know, we're in a sermon series called Better Relationships, practical ways to better relate with those around us, And why? Well, because we all can do better with our friendships, our romantic relationships, our family relationships, and even our work relationships. But a lot of times we don't know how to do better, and instead we just keep repeating all the unhealthiness that we have learned from our upbringing. But if God created and designed us for relationships, and if He is the only one that can teach us what a healthy relationship looks like, and if He's in that business of redeeming and restoring our relationships, then we want to give you some practical tools during this series so that you can better relate with those around you. So let's first talk about, what is a boundary? We can only know what a boundary is once we understand what ownership is. Back in the Garden of Eden, when God first created everything, God told the first two humans, Adam and Eve, about responsibility, about ownership, and about who is in control of that. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So God said, "Adam and Eve, you are responsible for filling the earth. You are responsible to take care of and rule the land and have control over it." See, God has ultimate rule and authority over all of the earth. But as His image bearers, He has given us some of His authority, ownership, and control. But we must not be careless with this privilege. So we're responsible for certain things that God has entrusted us with, and God is responsible for certain things, and when we confuse that, we now have a boundary problem. And so a boundary, according to Drs. Henry Cloud and John Townsend from their book Boundaries, is known as a property line. Let's look at the example of a house where there are physical boundaries that are easy to see. You may have a fence or a driveway or a lawn that specifically marks the boundary of your house with your neighbor's house. The boundary lines let the owner know where their property begins and ends and what they are or are not responsible for. And with this boundary, the owner knows where to cut the grass till or where they can plant trees and where a fence can be installed. The owner is not responsible for what happens in their neighbor's property because the neighbor is responsible for their own property. So when you compare this example to our lives, God designed it where we are responsible for the things that make up us. So meeting our needs are meant to be our responsibility and not someone else's responsibility. So with this example, boundaries define ownership. And with boundaries, we are clear who owns what. And when you know who owns what, then you know who controls what. And when you know who controls what, then you are clear on who is responsible or accountable for what. And when we know what we are in control of, it means we can easily know what we are not in control of and are not responsible for. So I'm not responsible for cutting my neighbor's yard. And if I did, because I didn't like how long the grass was in their yard, well, then I'm crossing a boundary and I can get into trouble. And boundaries are easy to see in real estate, but they're actually much harder to see when we're dealing with other people who are next to us, because those boundary lines are not really clear or visible. So going back to the house example, let's say you have a neighbor that has a rotted tree in their yard, and the branches of that tree are hanging over your yard. The tree keeps leaning more and more towards your house. And you've had multiple discussions, including written letters, asking your neighbors, asking them to please take care of the tree. Well, one day the tree ends up falling onto your property, damaging your house. The neighbors are not doing anything about it, and now their problem is becoming your problem. So what are you going to do? Well, if you don't have boundaries, then you will likely take responsibility for their tree in your yard, meaning you clean up the mess that they were supposed to clean up, and you fix your house that they were supposed to contribute to fixing while you are resentful on the inside. But if you define your boundary, then you can actually tell your neighbor that that tree isn't really your problem, that that tree is their problem, and they need to handle it. And in an ideal world, that neighbor will do what they need to do to clean up the mess, because that is their responsibility. And this analogy even refers to our relationships. So someone's irresponsibility, their lateness, their anger, their denial, their laziness, them not wanting to pay their bills on time, their addictions, well, those things seem to keep falling in your yard, and it's now affecting you. But this is the thing that people need to understand. If I take responsibility for their problems that they don't want to own, control, or be responsible for, then I am basically saying that I have no boundaries in the relationship, which just invites chaos and further frustration when dealing with that person. It is saying, you know what? Your trees keep falling on my yard, but no big deal. I will just clean it up for you. And anyone who thinks about that way will say, that's absurd. I'm not going to keep cleaning their messes because they need to take care of their own problems. But people do that all the time. That is why having boundaries keeps the good and healthy stuff in my life, and I can choose to keep the bad or unhealthy stuff out of my life. And a boundary is not a wall where you hunker down as you keep everyone and their problems out and away from you. But instead, a boundary is a fence that has a gate, and you get to decide what comes in and who comes in, or who doesn't come in. We get to control that in all of our relationships. And so people who are trustworthy and they do their part to own, control, and be responsible for their lives, well, they're good neighbors, and you can let them into your life for deeper relationships. Well, people who are dealing with problems but are willing to take responsibility and ownership to overcome those problems, but they just need help from you, well, you can decide whether or not you want to help them. But those that don't own their problems, have no control, or are not responsible because they keep letting their trees and their problems fall in your yard that affect you, well, you don't have to let them in your boundary gate, meaning you don't have to spend much time or effort with them because they're refusing to take responsibility for themselves. And this includes friends, coworkers, and even family members. That is why boundaries are important in relationships. Scripture says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. See, guard means that we get to decide what we allow to enter our hearts and even our lives. And when we are not diligent to examine and evaluate properly what comes in, well, then all the junk that we allow to come in will affect our life, our mood, our attitude, and our actions. And this is especially true with our relationships and the people we choose to relate and be in relationship with. That is why setting up boundaries are important, because it allows us to do two things. The first is that boundaries allow us to know when to say yes to something and no to something else so that we can take care of the responsibilities that we are responsible for. We can be responsible with what God has entrusted to us. Because when we take good care of what we are responsible for, we are now able to better help those around us. The second is that boundaries allow us to lovingly confront people and have tough talks with them. This is necessary because there are people in our lives who are controlling, judgmental, toxic, irresponsible, evil, or possess character problems that will affect us. And if we don't learn to draw boundaries with such people, they will drain, use, and hurt us. Boundaries are about having loving, non-judgmental, direct talks so that we don't have to live in stress and chaos with those around us who keep allowing their trees or even their problems to fall in our lives. And we have these tough conversations in order to have healthier relationships as we clearly define what we are and are not responsible for. So when a problem comes up, having boundaries allows us to know what we should and shouldn't be doing because the reality is we can't do everything. And once we know what we are responsible for, we can start to own what we are responsible for. And we can be clear to let others know what they are responsible for and what we cannot be responsible for them. Whenever we confuse what we are responsible for, it becomes a boundary problem which can lead to chaos and destruction in our lives and even in our relationships. So when a parent agrees with their teen that their teen is responsible for doing certain chores around the house, but the teen doesn't do it and the parent does it for them, well, that is a boundary problem because the parent is teaching their child that they don't need to be responsible because mom or dad will be responsible for them instead. When a spouse frequently yells, screams, and pouts, when they don't get what they want, and the other spouse struggles to say no to their behavior because they fear that it will end their relationship, well then, that is a boundary problem because the spouse is getting yelled at, is basically saying, hey, have all your trees fall on me and hurt me, but I would just clean it all up for you even though I will resent you for doing this to me. Boundary problems happen whenever someone is not responsible for what they need to be in control of, and now that responsibility falls on someone else to control. And if a boundary is what we are responsible for, then we have the responsibility to guard our heart. In order to draw boundaries, we need to know what we are and are not responsible for. Here are some things that we need to be responsible for in order to properly guard our hearts and effectively set healthy boundaries with others. The first, we are responsible for our feelings. Our feelings play a huge role in our motivation and behavior. Feelings should not be ignored, but also should not rule or be in charge of our lives. Feelings come from our heart, and we want to be aware of them as often as possible because they are actually pointing to some sort of issue. And if we are the ones who are responsible for our feelings, then that means that we are not responsible for how someone else is feeling. Number two, we are responsible for our attitudes, beliefs, values, and desires. Our attitude is our perception and perspective towards others. God, life, work, and relationships. Our beliefs are anything that we accept as true, and our values are our convictions. Desires are what we hope to accomplish or do in life. The circumstances that we face in life help to determine our attitudes, beliefs, values, and desires, which also determines the kind of person that we are and the choices that we will ultimately make. Number three, we're responsible for our behaviors and for our choices. So how we act and the choices we make will have consequences, be it good or bad. For example, if we act lovingly and responsibly towards others, we will most likely have closer and better relationships. On the other hand, if we are unloving and irresponsible towards others, we will most likely reap stress, mistrust, and failure in our relationships. When this happens, we cannot blame others for the behaviors and choices we chose to make. Number four, we are responsible for our limits. We get to determine what we can and cannot do, as well as who we do or do not interact with. So if people are healthy and life-giving, we can choose to interact and be in relationship with them. But if there are people in our life that hurt us and are a danger to us physically, emotionally, financially, and verbally, then we can also choose to draw boundaries with such people. This also includes being aware of our time, our limits, and our bandwidth in life. Number five, we're responsible for our talents, which means that things like finances, talents, or gifts that have been entrusted to us by God are within our ownership and responsibility. We are responsible for honoring God with what we have and for developing and growing our talents and gifts for God's purposes. Number six, we're responsible for our thoughts. We're the only ones who can control and think about what we are thinking about. Is what we are thinking about honoring God or not? Is it true or not? Only we can decide how to win the battle that's happening in our minds. Number seven, we're responsible for our love. We're responsible for giving and responding to love. We have to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. We are also to love our neighbors as ourselves. Only we can choose where our love goes. And lastly, number eight, we are responsible for the health of our soul. This includes growing and maturing your own relationship with God through prayer, reading of scripture, and being in community at church. It is seeking life-giving friendships in community. And it's getting rest, it's eating right, it's exercising, it's doing all those things, and such things nourish your soul. And realizing and accounting for what we are and are not responsible for is not being selfish. Rather, it makes it clear as to what we own, what we can control, and what we are ultimately responsible for. It is being a good steward of the life that God has given us. However, there will be times when people we encounter will have burdens that are too huge to bear by themselves, meaning that they don't have the knowledge or resources or strength and they need help. Though it is their responsibility, these are things that they are not able to do for themselves. This includes times of tragedy or crises. In cases like this, we can choose to help them because they cannot help themselves, just like Christ did for us. That is why if we can be responsible for ourselves, we are now able to better care, love, and serve those around us. And one of the biggest things that prevents us from setting and keeping boundaries is the necessity of saying the word no to those that we are in relationship with. We can't say no because we fear that there will be a loss of relationship. We're afraid that by saying no, in order to uphold a boundary in regards to what we are able to do, people will get mad or be disappointed with us. So in order to keep the relationship, we say yes and let people take us hostage with their agendas, misbehaviors, and irresponsibilities. I know a girl who told me that she couldn't say no to any demands of her boss for fear that he wouldn't like her or she would get fired. The boss constantly asked her to stay late, to take on extra projects and do things outside of her job description. As a result, of not saying no to her boss. She resented work and she resented him. She lost out on time with her kids and even with her spouse. Next, we can't say no because we fear conflict, avoidance, anger. Many of us picked up our way of handling conflict based on the households that we grew up in. Some of us learned that dad can be mad and no one can say anything. Or mom can swear up a storm and everyone has to do what she says. Or if a topic needed to be discussed, all of a sudden the subject would be changed and they would be shut down. Many of us grew up learning that conflict is bad and should be avoided at all costs. As a result, we have become people pleasers that say yes to people even when it doesn't sit well with us and even when it crosses our boundaries. Or we feel that if we were to say no and set boundaries, then the other person will get angry, throw a tantrum, or give us the silent treatment. Lastly, we can't say no because of the fear of guilt. There's a story about a woman with two kids who became a single mom through no fault of her own. As the children grew up, she struggled to say no to her children because she felt guilty for everything that the kids had to go through with the divorce that led them to now having a split family. But even when her children were older and in their 20s, they refused to work or go to school. But yet the mom continued to let them live in her home, rent-free, while providing all their meals and needs. Things continued to get even more chaotic at home because she was doing everything, including chores, and getting resentful about it. She knew on the inside that she needed to put a boundary in place and that it would actually be beneficial in the end for her children. But yet, the guilt she carried surrounding her kids and their childhood prevented her from ever saying no because she thought that by saying yes all the time, it would make up for all the pain that the kids had to go through. Her guilt prevented her from setting any boundaries, which would ultimately bring health and healing into her and into her relationship with her children. That is why one of the major obstacles to setting boundaries is our feelings of obligation. Many people avoid setting boundaries with those whom they feel obligated to, so that they can avoid any guilty feelings when they say no. But what also ends up happening is that these same people who feel obligated never leave home, they never change schools or churches or jobs or even friends, even if it would mean a healthier environment and ultimately healthier relationships. And they are stuck on the fact that because they have received something, they now owe something. However, a better and healthier perspective is that the love we receive or the money we get or anything that causes us to feel obligated to a certain person should be viewed as a gift, because a gift genuinely comes with the premise that there are no strings attached. So if someone does something for you, a thank you should be enough. We are responsible for our choices and feelings of being grateful and as a result of what was done. However, if the giver had other motives with strings attached for doing what they did and ends up hurt or angered, then the gift was probably a loan. We cannot control their feelings, but gratitude should have been enough if it was a healthy relationship. And if it isn't enough, then there is some unhealthiness there that we would need to address. So how do we do this? Well, here are a few ways we can start to develop our own boundary muscles as we learn when and how to say yes or no and mean it. Number one, monitor how you have been lying. In what ways are you lying in your relationships or to yourself? For example, if you were in an argument with someone and things were not resolved, but yet you tell yourself that things are fine, or when it comes to interacting with others, you don't really tell them how you feel and instead tell them what they want to hear, or times when you know you needed to speak up and you didn't, or even times when you said yes when you actually meant no, are all ways that you actually lie to yourself and those around you. So throughout the day, be mindful and purposeful to keep a tally of how much you lied to yourself and others. Then ask yourself, why? Are you trying to please someone or avoid something? Are you trying to not respond or to control? Then when you do lie, it is quickly confessing it to God and to those that you lied to, as you now take steps to be more honest with God, yourself, and others. And if you want to learn more about what this looks like, I encourage you to check out part one of this series on YouTube on our website. Number two, practice using the word no every day. When you say no and when you mean no, you are being honest with yourself and with others. It also makes it easier for you to say no the next time you encounter a situation where you have to say no. You do not have to feel any guilt from the no because, like we said, we are not responsible for how someone else feels, but we are responsible for our choices and how we feel. Of course, it's not just saying no to everything, but it's discerning if you are able to do something or not able to do something, and then being clear about that. Number three, know when to say yes. This can get hard, but these are the steps that I go through to know if I am to meet a need or not when it is presented to me. We have to remember that a need is not a call, meaning that just because there is a need, it doesn't mean that we are called to do something about it, even if we could. Because the reality is that there's so many needs out there and only so much time. So we have to discern what needs we can meet because there is no possible way that we can meet all the needs. Instead, we are to meet the needs that we have the skills, the passions, the time, the resources, and the energy to do. For example, if someone needs my time or money, there is a checklist that helps me to decide what to do. Is this something that the person can provide for themselves? And if not, are they unable to provide for themselves or unwilling to provide for themselves? Do I have the bandwidth or energy to do something based on my current schedule? We keep emphasizing the point that we all have the responsibility to take care of our own responsibilities first. When we care for ourselves, we can actually start to better care for those around us. How am I feeling? Am I feeling cheerful and loving? Or am I feeling angry and resentful about doing this? God wants us to be cheerful givers, so this allows us to check our motives in saying yes to a particular need. What is the fruit of my giving? That means, if I decide to say yes to something, is there genuine gratitude from the person and autonomy in the sense that my help was able to help them get back on their feet so that they can be in a better position to be responsible for themselves? Or is my yes met with ingratitude and more dependency, whereby now that person wants more from me as a result of what I did? This allows you to determine who are the people in your life who are relational vampires, meaning people who just suck and suck and suck your time, energy, resources, and even the life out of you. In return, they just blame and don't accept responsibility for themselves. In fact, they expect you to assume responsibility for them. Boundaries need to be drawn for people like that, and that even includes family. Number four, find out who you are giving power to. Who are you allowing to overstep your boundaries with their irresponsibility? Who do you have trouble saying no to? For example, When we see behavior that is unacceptable and we don't confront or speak up about it in truth and in love or give consequences, we are actually handing over enormous power to someone, and we put ourselves in positions where we get taken advantage of. Or we give up power when we try to people please or try to gain approval. We give up power when we allow other people's behaviors to dictate our moods and feelings. So who are you giving power to at home, at work, somewhere else? And lastly, redo it. Whenever we say yes to something and fail to follow through on our yes, we are actually really writing what are known as blank checks that we can't cash. We are making promises that we can't keep. And that not only frustrates us because we're lying, but it frustrates others as they lose trust in us because we said yes when we really meant no. So if you're going to say yes, then make a commitment to let your yes be yes and your no be no. So if you said yes when you should have said no, then it's going up to the person and having an honest conversation with them that you lied when you said yes to do something when you really meant no. Though it's hard to redo a yes that you made, it allows you to now be honest so that you are not tied up with obligations that you are unable to keep. Knowing that you have to take the step of being awkward, admitting that you lied, will also prevent you now from quickly saying yes to something without seeing what your responsibilities and boundaries are first. And when we try practicing such small steps, we can start to develop healthier boundaries as we partner with God to address the boundary problems in our life that prevent us from having healthy relationships. I mean, think about this. Imagine what your life will be like. Imagine having less stress to deal with because you know what you are responsible for and not responsible for. Imagine being able to be honest with yourself, with God, and with those around you. Imagine being able to know when to say yes and when to say no without feeling any sense of guilt. Remember, having boundaries allows us to know who owns what, who controls what, and who is responsible or accountable for what. So go and evaluate your relationships through the lens of boundaries and see how God may be leading you to have some conversations and draw some better, healthier boundaries so that you and those around you can experience a richer, healthier, and better relationship. Let me pray for us. God, help us to understand what you have entrusted to us and what we are responsible for. God, give us wisdom to develop healthy boundaries so that our relationships can thrive and that we can be free from people who are toxic and cause us harm. So God, give us strength, give us courage, and give us resilience to break free from any sort of unhealthiness in our relationships, as we choose the path and as we choose your path towards life. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you want one. You want to experience his love, his hope, his mercy, his forgiveness for your sins. We'll know that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with him now and for all of eternity. He lived a perfect life and then he chose to die for your sins and even mine so that we can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.